Should we start here with our first, our new guest, but old guest?
Yeah.
Ben Golliver. Now, yeah. Wait for it, ladies and gentlemen. ESPN,
hey,
NBA senior writer.
The mothership.
At Ben Golliver on Twitter. Bubble Ball author. Are we still doing the GOAT pod, too? We're doing it all? And ESPN? What's up, Ben?
No, just ESPN now. Unfortunately, okay. I had to say goodbye to the GOAT pod, but, you know, hopefully... I'll see him at another time down the road, maybe.
Well, look, we're happy for you, man. We celebrated when it got announced, and we're happy to have you on. But, like, truly, I know what the post was for you and being, like, an old-school paper guy. What does it also mean, like, at this point in the career to work for a company like ESPN that, you know, produces such great content, and now you're a part of it?
No, it's been amazing. I mean, I've only been on the job for a week, so I don't know if I can give you too many deep thoughts, but just the depth they have. I feel like I'm playing for the Thunder, man. They just come at you in waves, you know. At the Post, you know, maybe sports wasn't the number one priority. You know, they got things like politics and international relations to probably be most focused on. At ESPN, it's all sports all the time. They love the NBA. They love the WNBA. And so it really just feels like a lot of like-minded spirits, you know, kindred spirits, in the mix, and we've had some great basketball. You know, I'm hopping in at the perfect time. I feel like everybody else is sort of stumbling towards the finish line, another long season, and I'm coming in off the bench fresh, ready to rock, you know? Yeah.
If you were the Thunder at ESPN, who would you be on the Thunder as a new addition? Are you Jared McCain for the Thunder?
Ooh.
You know, I got to say, I got a lot of respect for what Isaiah Hartenstein's been doing. I don't know if I've got that lefty floater, but hey, I try to do a little bit of everything. It's about the versatility, right? It's about banging with Wemby in the paint. It's about, you know, making some nice passes, setting some screens, just trying to get in where you fit in. So how about that?
I love it, dude. NBA senior writer for ESPN, Ben Golliver, at Ben Golliver on Twitter. Also a great IG follow as well. Guy's always doing some cool excursions, so give him a follow on IG as well. I think one of the things that, I mean, we've obviously known you for years, so to see the news, we were overjoyed, you know, for you that you got the gig, and deservingly so, because you're one of the best writers out there. I think there's also the local tie of, like, man, you're a local guy, and you have a unique perspective on the Blazers at a time where, I don't know if you know this, Ben, there's a lot going on around our little franchise over here on the West Coast right now. Some people are telling us they're going to be the Kalamazoo Blazers in the months to come, and that they're already reaching out to other cities and they're going to leave. And others are, you know, screaming from the mountaintops about this cheap guy who won't pay for anything, and we want to, you know, go hire the Lane Community College head coach. As somebody who has a unique understanding and a background around the Blazers, I'm just curious, from the 10,000-foot view, what have you made of the beginning of the Tom Dundon era and where it's going?
Well, first things first, you guys probably won't believe this. My mom went to Kalamazoo College and graduated, so I can confirm to you they're not going to be the Kalamazoo Blazers. I'll just tell you that right now, okay? You can go ahead and scratch that one out. So here's the thing. I love to judge these guys when they get into their new jobs on their actions rather than their words. You know, unfortunately, Tom Dundon's made that a little bit difficult. You know, I mean, he comes out on the interview with Rich Paul, and he says, hey, I just didn't know how the NBA worked. Well, you know, it's part of your job to know what you know and know what you don't know. And I think there was a lot of self-inflicted errors by him that just didn't need to happen. Now, I understand if he wants to reassess the business, go through some layoff process, restructure. I mean, that's pretty common when a new owner takes over. And obviously putting in, you know, new personnel in key positions like a coach, I mean, that is also just part of the deal, right? So I want to reserve judgment a little bit until we actually see what he does. But I would say everyone's right to feel alarmed. I mean, this has not gone well at all from a public relations standpoint and from a messaging standpoint. And I understand, you know, he wants people to know that he's all about winning and he's willing to do what it takes. He wants to push his people hard. That's all well and good, but he's making everybody's lives more difficult with some of these comments. And in the NBA, as you guys know, the battle for talent, the race for talent is so unbelievably fierce. If you're a smaller market team, if you're a team that hasn't had a ton of playoff success recently, basically what you have to sell to people is your culture. And right now, this culture looks like a turnoff from the outside. I'm sure it probably feels like a turnoff being there in Portland as well.
But how long does a turnoff last? I think that's the, we've kind of taken the angle of, like, acknowledging Tommy Two Nickels and how cheap he can be and the impact and what people have talked about. But also, like, they haven't really, there hasn't been much done, right? Like, the comments are one thing. It's like the actual actions. Yeah, he's had some staff layoffs, but I think what we read in the Oregonian is basically, like, the amount of people we hired, given the revenue being so low, that was probably going to happen no matter who bought the team. Now, I know Tom's not the most rich, deep-pocketed owner, but Like, does it really truly get in the way of them making a splash trade? Is it going to stop them, preventing them from getting a player of note, an Anthony Davis maybe? Do they jump into the Giannis sweepstakes? Like, I guess I'm more curious of some of this stuff isn't good, but also does it really stop anything from happening this offseason? And if it doesn't, then I guess what are we debating here?
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. Let's withhold judgment until we see the moves, until he goes through a draft cycle, until he goes through a free agency process. We'll see if he is really focused on spending his money on the roster, which was what he was saying in the NHL, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't really care about all this other outside stuff. All I really care about is the group that goes on the ice, or in the NBA's sake, goes on the hardwood. That's possible. At the same time, when you start to see some of these comments and some of these judgments that he's making, doesn't it make you nervous, the idea of a splash trade, right? We saw that down in Phoenix with Matt Ishbia, first day on the job, boom, give me Kevin Durant. Well, they're still digging out of that one. It's been like 3 years. They're trying to figure out how to retool things. And obviously that didn't really lead anywhere in the playoffs. It did not pan out like they thought it would. So that new owner syndrome, the idea of like, hey, you know, I want to make my mark. I'm smarter than the previous people who own this group. This is a diamond in the rough organization that I'm going to turn around. A lot of very successful people, and Tom Dundon certainly is very successful from a financial standpoint. A lot of them, you know, they think that they've got it all figured out, when in actuality, it sounds like he's still learning the NBA game. So to me, if I was a Blazers fan, I would be nervous at the idea of him trying to make a big splash this summer. I'm not sure I would trust his judgment to make that splash.
Interesting. We're talking with Ben Golliver, at Ben Golliver on Twitter, ESPN NBA senior writer, the author of Bubble Ball. Go give him a follow on IG as well. It's interesting you bring that up, and I promise you, we'll ask you about things that you're probably actually covering right now, like the conference finals, which has been great, and the Knicks being in the NBA finals.
Hey, look, don't apologize, guys. I know when I come on in Portland, we're doing a half an hour on the Blazers 365 days a year. You know I've been around this group long enough. Come on, man.
Well, I mean, on that note, your answer there kind of led me into I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place, I feel like, with the offseason, because there's no doubt the Blazers' biggest asset that they have is these future picks, right? The swaps with Milwaukee, the Orlando first, I want to say in 28. Like, there's a lot there. A Boston, you know, best and worst case scenario with them, Boston and Milwaukee one of the years. So they have all this capital to work with. And then I'm watching the Western Conference Finals, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't care what we do this offseason. Like, nothing's putting Portland on the same trajectory as those two teams. And it's this weird, it almost feels like we're back in that Warrior run era with KD, where it's like, what's even the point? You're not going to be able to beat them. And I know that's a defeatist mentality, but I guess from that point, like, what would the argument be of what Portland should do this offseason? Because they certainly took a step. I think we could debate what the step was, because a lot of their wins in the back half of the year were against teams who were actively trying to lose games, right? And we had a historic race to the bottom in the NBA this year. And so it's hard to get a gauge exactly on where they're at. They lose in five to the Spurs in the first round of, like, is this the moment to say, hey, we got these chips, let's do it? Do you wait it out another year, not knowing also with the lottery reform of, like, what do those picks look like? There's a lot up in the air right now that makes it kind of an uncomfortable offseason, to your point, too, on the owner not trusting him. I guess, what would a good offseason in your mind look like for Portland?
Well, look, it's a great question. I love that comparison to this Warriors era where everything feels impossible. How are you supposed to keep up with Steph and KD? You know, Portland might have 50 future draft picks. That doesn't mean they're going to find a Wemby. You know, there's only one of those guys. And that's a scary proposition. All you can do is run your own race, right? Let's look back at what Oklahoma City did during that incredible Thunder era. You know, that incredible Warriors era, I should say. I mean, they're losing Kevin Durant, so how did they retool? Well, they got really aggressive in the trade market, making tons and tons of deals to generate more assets. They, you know, really recommitted to scouting, bringing in lots and lots of young guys. They tapped an absolutely incredible head coach in Mark Daigneault. I think this guy is doing a great job in this Western Conference Finals of making adjustments and making life difficult for Wemby. And they rebuilt the culture from the ground up. I mean, a lot of those guys were coming through the G League. Daigneault himself was coming through the G League. And they just basically said, here's who we are as an organization. We want to be the hardest playing group. We want to be unselfish. We don't care who's starting or who's coming off the bench. This is just going to be a team unit. And it really paid dividends, but it took a number of years. I'm not sure Portland's all the way back at rock bottom like Oklahoma City was. I think they've made some progress, but clearly a successful offseason is hiring the right coach. And whether that's, you know, deciding that Tiago Splitter is the guy or going out there and finding somebody else who you believe is better. That is the biggest step to me, step one. And then I think step two, in terms of this roster, I thought Joe Cronin did great work last year of deciding who was keepers and who was not, right? Like, did you guys miss DeAndre Ayton and the Ice Capades at any point last season, right? You kept the guys like Denny and give them a bigger role. Kumara, I thought, was a nice move as well in terms of, solidifying him as a piece going forward. Mm-hmm. So I think there's been some real talent collection, and it came together a little bit in terms of a playoff run. So I would be wary of trying to turn the whole thing upside down with a new owner and like, let's completely shake it up. Let's try to make a splash. That would make me nervous. I'd be trying to make gradual progress, but that's going to start with a coach.
So of the coaching candidates you've heard, is there one that sticks out? Like, is it a Jeff Van Gundy for
Van
you?
Gundy.
The experience,
come on,
he's back in the game. Is it keeping Tiago since he was here and he got him through the Chauncey off-court stuff? Is it one of the assistants, the Micah Norris from Minnesota? Like, is there one that stands out to you?
Well, first of all, I'd say that those are some pretty good names. You know, it's like, all the buzz about, oh, this guy only wants to spend $12 and, he's paying minimum wage with no benefits for his coach. Like, I mean, he's got some good names interviewing in the mix, and I think that's great. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy made a big impact here in L.A. his first year. Their defense went from pretty meh to absolutely incredible. Now, they did take a step back last year defensively, and so, you wonder, was it fool's gold or was it like an instant impact that didn't last? But in terms of a Portlandia character, you could not do better than Jeff Van Gundy. In terms of your guys' show and quotes and all that good stuff, I mean, imagine Stan Van Gundy coming up there for a national game, commentating about his brother. You guys would just be rolling in. It'd be the best material you could ever ask for. I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. I thought Splitter had a really good year. He over-delivered what I expected. I mean, I cannot imagine stepping into somebody's shoes as they're, shuffling off to the courthouse, right, in the middle of a federal indictment. I mean, that is a really challenging spot to keep the locker room together, to have a distinct defensive identity, to play hard, play fast, kind of get this team modernized. If they had anybody who could shoot, I think they would have even looked better in the standings. So I feel like the idea of nickel and diming him is what rubs me wrong about this process. Show some respect to the guy who had a nice season, even if you're not going to select him as the head coach. You don't need to turn this into like a bare knuckles negotiation based on what he's been through over the last 6 months. But, we'll see. I mean, clearly this guy wants this coming out of left field. I mean, he has not telegraphed it. He has not kept it nice and smooth like most NBA coaching searches. I mean, you saw Milwaukee, Doc Rivers was gone and bam, Taylor Jenkins was in place. Like, it felt like 48 hours later. That certainly hasn't been the story in Portland. And that makes me a little bit nervous, too. Again, it goes back to how business gets done in the NBA. He's got something to prove there. Tom Dundon does.
I hear you on new owner syndrome. We see that happen all the time. Go back to Mark Cuban's time when he bought the Mavs. Like, there's guys all the time that buy these teams. They make massive moves. Why is Giannis Antetokounmpo not a guy worth diving in for when you got all that pick stuff to try to take a step?
Look, I think he's the right player for a team that's like definitely one superstar away from being a tier A elite organization. The problem is he's so high usage in terms of his play style, and he hasn't necessarily meshed well with other high usage players that it just would make me nervous. Like, I see Knicks rumors like, and this is before they made the finals, obviously, but how is it really going to work with him and Jalen Brunson? Who gets the basketball? There's only one basketball. And so if you're taking on Giannis, you're rebuilding your entire organization in his mold. I think you already got a star there in Denny, right? So you're going to get way less out of Denny, in my opinion, if you're lining him up next to Giannis than you did last season. And then I think the questions obviously are with Giannis's durability, his lack of shooting, his lack of playoff progress these last couple of years. And one thing we know about the NBA right now, it's a young man's league. You look around, there's basically nobody over 30 besides Alex Caruso really having an impact in this year's playoffs. It's crazy how young the league has gotten. And with Giannis, it's a lot of soft tissue injuries. He's right in the middle of this star injury crisis we've seen from a whole bunch of guys these last couple of years. And he used to be indestructible. And so the concern is, did he peak earlier in his career? And now he's declining earlier. And do you want to be on that side of the decline? For me, if I was Portland and I was, just kind of a middle of the pack team, not necessarily one player away. I don't think that's the gamble that I would make.
Ben Golliver is our guest now at ESPN, our good friend. ESPN NBA senior writer at Ben Golliver on Twitter. Go give him a follow on IG as well, and the author of Bubble Ball. Conference finals last night, San Antonio falls short. Looked like they got a little dirty there late in the game, which, you know, why not? They kind of do that in hockey sometimes late in the game. Might as well rough somebody up with Plumlee coming in and running people over. What do you make of the series, and are we going to seven? Just kind of where you at on the Western Conference finals right now?
I mean, it's been such a dogfight. I wanted to ask you guys, though. I mean, are you on this, like, anybody but the Thunder bandwagon? It seems like America hates the Thunder.
I'm rooting like hell. It'll be the Knicks versus whoever makes it. Like, I don't care who wins the West.
You're a ball guy, Ben. Obviously, you've been covering and watching and everything your whole life. Like, there's something beautiful and poetic about the way that they play, but when you add the flopping element, I mean, nobody wants to play with a flopper at a park or in a pickup game at a gym. And they're, like, rampant with it. So I think they actually get in their own way of getting people to root for them with the flopping antics.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think their toughest test in this playoffs is Twitter. It's like Brick Center and the lowlights accounts that just, like, show their flops constantly, because it completely paints them with that brush. Yeah. That's all anybody ever wants to talk about with the Thunder. And you're right. I mean, I watch these guys play defense. I mean, Cason Wallace with those hands, man. Like, it just gets me so excited.
Yep.
And then you go on Twitter and everybody's like, oh, there he goes again. He's diving. Oh, there's Shea. He's a grifter. And, like, that's the whole conversation. Look, I get both sides of it. I thought it was a monster Game 5 win for them. I thought they had a big win in Game 3 on the road as well. But it felt to me like they took control of that series. What's been so fascinating about this series, Wemby's played great for a number of games, didn't play so well in Game 5. It hasn't been about the headlining stars. This is not Shea versus Wemby MVP duel. For Oklahoma City, it's been about all the unsung heroes, the Hartensteins, the Jared McCains, freaking Alex Caruso, just a monster. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a higher plus minus than Wemby in this series, if you can believe
That's
it. And, you know, Wemby is the face of the NBA, and Caruso, you know, maybe not quite so much, doesn't even start for his team, but that's the kind of impact that he has on this Oklahoma City ball club. So, I think the Knicks, they've been phenomenal through the Eastern Conference Finals, but if they do get the Thunder in the finals, it's going to be like going from second gear to sixth gear against that defense, because the teams they've played, Atlanta, Philly, and Cleveland, they just don't lock up like Oklahoma City does. And I know that's not what anybody wants to hear these days, but you know, I still trust the Thunder defense more than I trust the Knicks offense or Wemby or anything else.
Well, you know the history of the game as well as anybody. Just having a 6'2 guard the way Brunson operates, I don't know if the Knicks will win the championship, but if they do, what that just kind of means in the history of the game, the team, the player, the size of him, all of that.
Oh, I mean, he'd be one of the all-time cult heroes, folk heroes of NBA history. I mean, Allen Iverson got that status. He didn't even win the finals. You know, he won one game.
Right.
He's been minted for 25 years because he had awesome crossover moves, and he was the little guy. I mean, Brunson's the ultimate little guy for the big metropolis. I don't know how many players are more popular in their home markets than Brunson is at this point with Knicks fans. Here's an interesting one for you guys. Who won the divorce, Brunson or Luka? You know, obviously Luka's selling more jerseys. You know, Luka's got the bigger individual stats. Brunson's won more, and he's won more in the playoffs since he left Dallas and when he was teammates with Luka than Luka has. You know, as injuries have popped up for Luka, it's, you know, obviously the really unexpected trade kind of threw him for a loop last year. But we don't really think about that. It was always Luka's team, and Brunson wanted to get out of his shadow. Now, you know, Brunson's the one casting the shadow, potentially.
That's a fascinating question. I actually, to the first question, I don't know if you have a different one, Dirt. The only one I can think of currently playing for the organization, there might be two. It might be Anthony Edwards and Dame.
Yeah.
In terms of player identifying with the team,
the market, franchise, and the team.
Yeah, and the fans.
Well, and Dame's unique now, too, because he had a, you know,
we
had a hiatus there, a little 2-year gap. But Anthony Edwards, yeah, outside of that. And it's interesting on the playoff success, too, because now that you said it, I'm thinking
but
about
the
it.
The Mavs were in the finals.
The Mavs got to a finals, but Brunson has been more consistently winning in the playoffs every year. Luka flamed out in the first round last year with LeBron and the Lakers. They didn't get out of the first round of the playoffs. They lost in five.
But he didn't really play in this year's.
I'm with Ben on this one. Give me the little guy.
I'm not saying it's wrong.
Give me the little guy over Luka Doncic. How does it feel to be at ESPN? How's the cafeteria food? Are we still hanging out in L.A.? Are we going out to Bristol? What's the vibes like?
No, I haven't been out there yet. I know that's the tradition at some point, but no, I'll be my first trip. It's coming up, NBA Finals, game one, so I'll get to see everybody. Ooh. I don't know if it's OKC or San Antonio yet. But, you know, I just got my laptop working yesterday. I'm trying to sign up for benefits, guys. I mean, all the glamorous stuff, you know. But the one thing I did do, and you might have seen it on Instagram, I made a little pilgrimage out to Disneyland.
Yes.
And I made sure to get a little handshake with Mickey Mouse, the boss himself. You know, I figured if I was joining the Walt Disney Company, I had to make sure I shook hands with the CEO, you know.
The funny thing was I was going to ask, like, how soon is too soon to ask for the Disney passes? Because I know ESPN gives you a handful, I think, a year or
works,
so. Like,
right?
When's it too soon?
We've known you for a long time, Ben, okay?
Well, it's not too soon. I'll tell you this. I mean, they were pitching that before I even signed up. So that's part of the deal. Yeah. They know what butters their bread for sure. And, you know, still, no matter what the economic conditions, I'll tell you what, people are going to Disneyland day in, day out down here.
I love it. Ben Golliver, congrats on the new gig now, the NBA senior writer for ESPN, Bubble Ball author. Give him a follow on IG, on Twitter, at Ben Golliver. Congrats, man. We're happy for you. Continued success. Enjoy the rest of the NBA playoffs. I'm sure we'll be reaching out again for you soon. Thanks as always for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. Take care.